On this episode, what's the best setup for a face-to-face interview? Welcome to Season 7 of Podcraft, and this is the Frequently Asked Questions season. See, we get questions every single day via the website, social media, all sorts of different places. We thought it was about time we go through as many of them as we can. I'm Colin Gray, I'm joined by Matthew McLean, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you're asking. Take it away, Matthew.
So this question came in from Uzma, and she was asking about face-to-face interviews. It's a question we get a lot, actually, so it's definitely worth talking about. First thing to consider here, Colin, is really, like, are you going to be doing your face-to-face interviews in, like, a permanent or semi-permanent studio or home environment? Or are you thinking about going out and getting interviews just as and when? So whether that's in a car at an event, in a cafe or a pub. So you're probably looking at two kind of different setups here, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you have the luxury of having a regular place to record, then it's great because you can set up your room stands and you can have like really nice sort of it all arranged perfectly, so you can just turn up and just press record button, can't you? Otherwise you're going to have something. I think the consideration there is that you can go a bit more complex, obviously, when you've got a permanent setup, whereas you're kind of looking for something that's really easy and quick to set up if you're out at a pub or an event space or something like that all the time. But then again, when you're out and about, there's two different methods too, isn't there? Like, you might want to set up for a few hours and you actually still want the stands and things, or I mean, you just have like a really simple digital recorder and you're just actually pointing it from person to person.
So where
do you want to start? Will we start at maybe out and about?
So the out and about, I mean, my own podcast, the audio drama production podcast, for the last year or so, I mean, we've always, myself and my co-host Robert, we've always got together and recorded in the car because it suited us, you know, kind of half meeting at a car park, a halfway point.
Surprisingly soundproofed environment as well.
Car's a good wee studio, apart from when there's grass cutting going on outside. But
you could just drive though, a movable studio.
So initially, we were using the old Zoom H2, and I had like a screw-in handle for that, and I was basically, you know, we're sitting in the passenger seat, the driver's seat, and I'm just passing this mic back and forward, like a television reporter. So obvious cons from that were, like, I got a bit of a sore wrist and you know, sore wrist from sitting in a car with a guy for a couple of hours.
Yeah, you didn't tell your wife that.
And what was I going to say there?
You were going to say it's hard to do.
Yeah, and again, you've got the mono track as well. So, you know, you're both, or if you record,
you're both on the same channel, basically.
And that, you know, we wanted a better setup. So we went down the route of, we got the Zoom H5 and a couple of lavalier mics that we tend to talk about quite a lot here at the podcast host, the ATR 3350s. We've got a review of them on the site as well. Put a link to them in the show notes. So was able to get a couple of 3.5mm to quarter inch adapters, plugged them into the Zoom H5, got audio on both channels, and immediately it became a much better conversation because I didn't have to worry about, you know, the audio because it was all, you know, it was all feeding into the recorder. We could sit back, we could move around a bit more. It really improved our setup, and it's a good sound quality too.
I mean, that's a really good setup, isn't it? It's not, it's, I mean, the H5 is certainly a bit of an expensive piece of kit, but it's so versatile, isn't it? You can use it in so many different places. I mean, we've got it sitting in front of us here. We've got an H5 right in front of us, which is recording this session. So it's not just for out and about. You can use it for studio recording too. But yeah, the lavalier mics are just great because you kind of, you forget they're there, don't they? They lead to a much more natural conversation. And especially if you're talking about interviewing people who aren't particularly used to speaking on mic. So folk that, you know, somebody in your industry, they're not used to being interviewed, they're not used to being on media, then you can put a, you know, you put a mic in front of them, even if it's an H2 on a handle, And they can just, like, they can totally freeze up, like, yeah, become really formal, really, like, they feel like they have to speak all, like, lawyer speak and just sort of use big words and make themselves look impressive. Whereas with a lav mic, you stick it in the shirt and they just forget it's there and it becomes much more natural throughout the conversation. So, yeah, it just leads to better content, I think, more better conversations.
Yeah, and you don't have to do as much of the coaching about the mic technique, you know, repeatedly telling them, you know, come away a bit or come closer a bit or stop, you know, looking away when you're answering a question. All that goes out the window.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's just so much easier.
Yeah.
So that setup, that's the ATR 3350 lav mics running into the H5. But most recorders will accommodate that.
You can use the, like, we talk about the Zoom recorders more than anything else, just because we like them. They're good. And the Zoom H1 is their basic one for about £60, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've done lav mic interviews with that using a splitter. So using something which lets you plug a few different mics into the one input. And you can find, we've got a lot of these setups shown on in our community, actually, in FanFission. So if you go to over to FanFission.com, FanFission.com, then you can get full instructions on a lot of these setups over there. But yeah, there's lots of different ways to do it, from sort of a cheap bodgy way. So with the H1, you only get it in one channel, obviously, like you were talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't get to split it out. But
yeah, the sound's not quite as good.
Yeah, but with an H5, you can have a lav mic in each channel, you can separate people out, you can work on them much more, a lot more flexible in how you work with that audio track. I mean, the other, just quickly, the other option there is actually a similar one, H5 with two handheld mics. So if the downside, maybe one of the cons of the lav mics is that if you're in a more noisy environment, they are relatively omnidirectional.
Yeah, they are.
Kind of. I know maybe technically they're not, but they do pick up a lot of background noise. So if you're in a noisy environment, it can not produce the greatest sound. So if you're at a conference, for example, maybe you want an H5 with two dynamic mics, like an SM58, which are really good at cutting out the background noise. You can get them to hold the SM58 right up to their mouth. You do the same, and suddenly you have really good interview quality, but with a little bit of the background buzz, but not too much. And you can do that with an H5 as well, because you can plug the sort of pro version XLR mics into that.
Yeah, you've got a trade-off there. Like you say, you've got, you know, your lav mics are always omnidirectional. They're going to pick up the environment. When you plug a dynamic directional mic in, the issue with dynamic mics going into these recorders tends to be that your noise floor immediately raises. I think it's just because of the preamps, you know, powering it. So again, you know, your priority is going to be to capture the vocals. So that's the better option, in my opinion, there than getting, you know, a lower noise floor, but your background noise is so loud that you can't actually hear what somebody's saying. So you're sometimes going to have to make these decisions, aren't you? When you're not recording in an actual recording studio.
Yeah. What about in the studio then? So that's probably, I think they're the two that we would recommend for out and about, isn't it? You've either got your lav mics, or if you really want to, you can use some handheld mics, or the basic, you know, just a digital recorder back and forth, or a one microphone between two people as well. So what about if you're in the studio like we are just now? If you're watching the video, then you can see that we've got two mics in front of us, boom stands all set up, the mixer in front of us. This is a full kind of studio setup. So what's, do you want to talk us through this?
Yeah, well, in the studio here, we're running through the Yamaha MG10 mixer. So we've got our mics plugged into that, and the audio is coming out of the mixer into the, and I'm knocking the mic now, into the Zoom
H5.
So this is the sort of setup that, you know, we have it set up all the time. You said earlier, we can come in here and just switch everything on
just
and we're
record.
Ready to go. But if your studio is maybe your kitchen table or a table in your bedroom or something like that also has different purposes, Colin, I think your old recording studio, is it not your son's bedroom as well back in the day? So
can't leave the mic set up there.
So you've got, I mean, most people don't have the luxury of a permanent setup.
Yeah.
So one of the best bits of kit, in my opinion, and I've had one of these for a couple of years now, is the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2.
Uh-huh.
It's not actually a mixer. It's a little preamp. It's got two XLR inputs. Again, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. And it's not, to be honest, I didn't get this for podcast recording. I got it for audio drama recording because I wanted to, when we were getting together recording our dramas, I wanted to have two actors being able to act together at the same time and record the audio straight into the computer.
Yeah.
And with this, it gives you that capability. I was able to record two actors on two different channels, and it's a USB device, so it plugs directly into your computer. These are famous for the, you know, they're well priced and their sound quality is a lot better, I've heard, than, you know, your standard mixer of the same price. Obviously,
of the same price,
with a mixer, you're going to get a bit more flexibility if you also want to do things like mix minus and things like that, you know, recording online. Yeah. But if you're always just recording on person, the sound quality on this, if you're a bit of an audiophile, they are a bit better than mixers, which are priced at the same level.
Aye. Although saying that, I mean, the MG10 I've found, this is one of the only mixers I've found in the kind of under 200 quid range that actually gives a similar kind of quality. Like the noise floor in this is brilliant, I find. But then it's not USB, so it does add a bit of complications. It's maybe less quality. It depends on your sound card and your computer when you're bringing in the sound into it. There's all sorts of different factors. But yeah, the Focusrite is a great, simple solution, I think, for a couple of mics. And in fact, for even more than that, isn't it? Because they've got their bigger versions.
Yeah, so you get the 18i8. Again, we've got a review of this on the site. Yeah. So that's if you want to bring in four people, or, you know, it's got the capability to plug in some more mics as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could get these USB devices that have, you know, eight or possibly more channels.
Yeah.
And if you've got some like Reaper or Adobe Audition, you could sit and record all these into their own independent channels.
Yeah.
What about in terms of microphones? Because what I've tended to use with the Scarlett 2i2 is the SM58s, mm-hmm. which are famously indestructible mics, very versatile. And you know, you get a really good sound quality with them. Again, you've got that issue of they are dynamic and you do get that wee bit more noise floor underneath. Mm-hmm. So recently I went and bought a couple of condenser mics, the AKG C214s, I think they're called.
Can't remember the codes.
Because the names of mics always roll off the tongue, don't they? Just numbers and letters.
Yeah.
But these mics are really high end. You know, again, it's audio drama production I'm looking at here.
Yeah.
And I found that they're exceptional in the studio, but when I'm in my house, even though I've got a nice little sound treated, what I would call studio, it's actually a cupboard.
Yeah.
If my wife's watching the TV like two rooms away with a really low volume, these will still pick them up because they're so sensitive.
Yeah, same with any condenser mic, isn't it? They've just got so much more sensitivity. I mean, this is that I'm using right now is the MXL990, and that is a condenser mic that I've found that actually, it's got a good balance between giving you a bit more richness than a dynamic mic, but not picking up a ridiculous amount of the background noise.
Yeah.
And I love this one because it's quite good value as well. I mean, it's only £80, I think, in the UK. I think maybe about $100 US, and it's a great mic. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a good option. If you've got a room at home with a bit of treatment, so there's no little reverb, little background noise, all that kind of stuff, you can get a really good quality out of the MXL990. Two of them in the studio with a Focusrite 2i2, and suddenly you've got pretty pro-level quality.
And of course, we can't do this episode without mentioning our old friend, the Samsung Q2U.
Of course.
One of our favourite mics, definitely. I'm recording onto one now, so the Q2U, if you're not familiar with it, a handheld dynamic mic. You could use it as a USB mic, you could use it as an XLR mic.
Yeah.
It's got the cardioid pattern, so it's going to reject a lot of the background noise around you. And they're just exceptional value. I think, like I checked yesterday, I think they're sitting at like £54 at the moment.
Yeah, including a set of headphones and a stand as well.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're on a budget, what I would say to somebody generally is go with the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 and get two Samsung Q2Us. That's a brilliant setup if you want to record at home with two people.
Yeah, and both monitor with a wee headphone splitter. You can both stand them up with the wee stands as well. So you've basically got a mobile studio straight away with that.
And that is the sort of kit, if you don't mind taking your laptop with you, that you can set up quite easily on location as well.
Simple as anything, definitely. Cool, okay. Well, I think, the Samsung Q2U as a kind of budget one, maybe a digital recorder for on the go, mixer or the Focusrite with some condenser mics for a more studio setup. It's covered way too much here.
It's also worth, as well as overwhelming the listener, it's worth mentioning the iRig stuff as well. You get a lot of good iRig stuff. You know, you get the handheld mics.
What do you mean, for recording
mics
on a mobile phone or a smartphone?
Yeah, for recording on your phone, again, I was looking on Amazon at an iRig preamp. Mm-hmm. So you could actually plug this preamp into your iPhone and plug in an XLR mic to that preamp. So that's going to give you some options if you want to go down that route. And also, we've talked about lav mics. Smart lavs are also a very good option.
Yep.
And it means if you're using your phone, you don't need as much gear on you, do you?
Yeah, yeah. Two Rode SmartLavs, SmartLav Pluses, I should say, the newer ones. And there's a little adapter, I think, off the top of my head. It's called the NC6, Rode NC6. But if that's wrong, you'll find it in the on Google. If you just search for Rode SmartLav Splitter, I think it is. And that lets you plug two SmartLavs into one phone and basically have the same setup we talked about earlier, doesn't it? Yeah, for cheap as anything. So yeah, that's about £95, I think, for the two smart lavs and the splitter. So that's actually a really good quality, quite good value setup.
So I suppose that's it. We've given you hopefully loads of options there. So yeah, get on Amazon or wherever you shop and start having a look at some of this gear. And like I say, I'll add the links to everything we've mentioned. We've reviewed most of it, so I'll add that to the show notes.
So you can go to this is episode 5, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this will be podcraft.net/705. So that's season 7, episode 5, 705. And that's the question for this week. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for spending some time with us. I just want to say as well, during the course of this season, we're actually launching our new community, which is called Fan Fishing. It's all about creating new fans for your podcast, really engaging with people, figuring out all the questions around podcasting, helping you to create a more engaging podcast and get it out every single week. So if you want to check out what we're doing there over at that community, from support to courses to live sessions to university style teaching, then go over to podhost.me/fans and you'll see the community there. So I hope to see you there. Please do check it out. And either way, we'll see you on the next one, where we'll be answering another one of your questions. Of course, send them in as well. Send in any questions you have to info@thepodcasthost.com. We'll hopefully answer it soon. See you next time.